Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful words, Lord. And as I'm reading, my heart is leaping from truth to truth and thinking to myself, we could preach for a month out of this one psalm. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, to instead use it a little bit as a springboard, as we'll be looking at many scriptures this morning. Lord, help this preacher, dear God, as he preaches and testifies. And Lord, above all, we want you to receive the glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and I believe that that should help us to take a weekend and set it aside for the purpose of remembering. I think memories are good. Let me give you a little instruction, something that will help you. If you're going to spend time remembering, remember good things. Remember good things. Please tell me what profit there is in remembering the things that will cause you sorrow or cause you to have a destructive spirit or to bring bitterness into your life. You can, if you want to, focus in on those things. But I promise you, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, if instead you'll count your many blessings, name them one by one, you'll be surprised what the Lord has done. For every negative thing you want to bring up from your past, if you would, you can find 50 or 100 good things that God's done for you also. And so one of the great keys to happiness, young people, I just gave you, you've got to take your remembering time and invest it well. Let it take you to the good things, the good times, the blessed memories. And I've already taken on this journey, and I've spent most of the week just on purpose deciding to remember some things. And as I did so, the Lord stirred my heart about so much. But I remember the moment that this sermon was born this week as I was going back, and I thought of all the memories that I could share with the people and all of the things that I could spend time remembering. This is the name of the message, my best memory ever. My best memory ever. You know what the Bible says in the first couple of verses of Psalms 32? Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. And I have a lot of good memories. I will be honest with you, folks. I've lived a blessed life. Say, preacher, do you have no heartache, no regrets? Didn't I just tell you that there's no profit in spending time thinking about them or talking about them? If you want to be a happy person, you want to be a blessed person, then think about what God's done, the good things of life. And I can certainly spend some time doing that and come to the conclusion that God's certainly been better to me than I deserve. But I have a lot of good memories. I love memories of growing up, and I mean this. I'm so thankful that I got to grow up the way I did. And I know everybody's life situation is different, but I was extremely blessed in the mom and dad that God gave me and the upbringing that I had. We were taught to work as young people, but we are also allowed to be kids. I mean, you know what, I thank God that I was raised in the country. I hide it well because I've completely revamped my vocabulary, but even though I hide it well, I'm a country boy. I'm just a country boy. I'm thankful as I spent those years in inner city Chicago when I was going through Bible college. I can't tell you how many times I stopped and looked around and just looked up to heaven and said, Lord, I want to help these people, but I also want to stop and say thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be raised where I was raised, have the home situation that I had. I want to thank you, Lord, that my mom and dad found Jesus before I was very old and got me in church. But my best memory of all, of course, is the day that I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. My best ministry or memory ever is the day I got saved. And so I spent the week remembering, and I'll spend tomorrow doing some remembrance, but I want to spend this morning talking to you, maybe just testifying to you about my salvation. And as I relive my salvation, I think that you'll enjoy reliving your salvation. And so let's take that journey backwards together. I got saved when I was 5 years old. Now, folks, I'm 55. You can do the math pretty easily. That's been 50 years ago. You say, preacher, 55 years of age, and you're talking about a memory when you were five. What in the world could you possibly remember that happened 50 years ago? I mean, I can't remember what I had for dinner last night. And you're telling me that you can go back and look 50 years back. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Over 50 years, there is something called the diminishing of the human memory. I think one of the reasons that God says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I think one of the reasons that God wants us to share our testimony on a regular basis is, you know what it does? It helps us to secure and protect and keep that memory. And I wish I'd have done that from the day that I got saved. But I'll tell you this, for the last 30, 35 years, I have committed myself to sharing my testimony, how I got saved with other people. So because while it was fresh in my mind, I talked so much about it, it still seems like it was just yesterday. And so I want to thank the Lord for my mom and dad taking me to church. I want to thank the Lord for a preacher by the name of Elmer Evans that preached the gospel to my family. I want to thank the Lord for his sweet wife, Mrs. Evans, that herded all of us little children into a back room on Wednesday nights and would take the Word of God and put it down on our level so that I could begin the process of comprehending what I needed to understand in order to be saved. And I want to say this to our children's workers. I mean this. You're champions here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have people right now, adults, that are out of our auditorium. And you know what? They're not sitting here and enjoying a sermon in comfort. They are putting full energy into ministering to children, just like Mrs. Evans did when I was a little child. I want to thank the Lord for the fact that God was patient with me. You know, when you're a little kid and you come to church, especially if you don't have a church background, and they begin to teach all these things, it takes a while to kind of figure it all out. But I'm so thankful. Preacher, what are your memories? I remember this. I remember a preacher that preached against sin. Amen. I remember Sunday school teachers that talked about sin and explained about sin. And by the way, I thank God for the Holy Spirit of God to begin to convict me about my sin. You know, somebody can't get saved until you get them lost. I mean, you know what? If you walk around with a sense of arrogancy, well, I don't need that salvation. I don't need that old-time religion. I'm good enough. I'm as good as anybody else. You'll sit there and good enough yourself right into hell. We had a track in the back that we had there for a while, a gospel track. I'm going to probably order some more and put it back in here. It says, good news for bad people and bad news for good people. How about that? That's a good title of a track. Good news for bad people, bad news for good people. You say, what is that talking about? If you think you're so good, you don't need Jesus, you don't need forgiveness, you don't need salvation. If you fight back against the Holy Spirit's conviction by trying to tell him about how wonderful you are, you're fighting a losing battle, first of all, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But I think back, and that's, preacher, do you remember everything at 5 years of age? No, but I remember the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, I couldn't even have told you that's what it was. I didn't know that terminology. I didn't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I didn't honestly probably even hear much about him in that church. But I know this, when the preacher started talking about hell, or he'd start talking about the rapture, he'd start talking about sin, there was a holy unrest that began to stir within my heart, something that man's words could not create without divine help. And I remember the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and at first I didn't even understand what it was. I didn't even know why I felt that way. I remember as a little kid sometimes leaning against my mom thinking, well, I must just have a stomach ache. I didn't know what it was. But all I know is every time that preacher started talking about heaven and knowing that you went there, I began to feel this unrest in me. I don't know that. When he talked about hell, it scared me. And by the way, America needs to hear that kind of preaching, amen. He talked about the second coming, and once I got to the point where I began to understand what that was, and then the tribulation period, I'd begin to worry about that. And so I'm so thankful. What do you remember? I remember conviction of sin. You know, I remember the gospel being preached to me. And I didn't understand it all at once, but I'm so glad that right away the main subject at church was the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that captured me. I remember the first time that I heard it, I can remember as it began to sink in on me. They did what? They took this man Jesus and they did what? I didn't even understand fully who he was at that time or what the significance of it was. But I remember how vividly, what an impression it made on my young mind, that somebody, some group of people would take another human being and nail him to a cross. And of course, immediately as a child, you think, well, why would they do that? How about that? That gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. Well, why would they do that? Well, over the course of going to Sunday school and children's church and sitting under preaching, I began to discover why they did that. Jesus came to die for the sins of the whole world. That's the general premise, but then the more specific premise, with again the help of the Holy Spirit, I came to this conclusion that Jesus didn't come just to die for the sins of the whole world. He came to die for Jerry Ross's sins. And so, you know what, there's certain things. You say a five-year-old boy can't understand salvation. Sure he can. He can feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He can understand Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for his sins. By the way, he can feel the drawing of the Father. Man, I remember I got to the point where a lot of these things were starting to come together. Here, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm beginning to be dealt with that, and I realize Jesus died for the sins of the world, including my sins. And I can, by the way, I want to share this with you. I've shared it before, but I can tell you the moment it came crystal clear to me, even as a little boy. Again, it wasn't in a church service where Pastor Evans was preaching. It was in a children's service where Mrs. Evans was teaching us. Mrs. Evans loved to tell the story of those two twins that were from China. And one of them became a Christian. And by the way, it's something to become a Christian in China. That's something. Because of that, this man suffered a lot of persecution, was made fun of, and even by his own twin brother, didn't want anything to do with this new religion, didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Instead, he began to run with the wrong crowd. This unsaved brother began to run with the wrong crowd and began to get in problems and troubles and then into a criminal life. And finally, there was a night when he committed a murder and the police were in pursuit of him. And he's running from the scene of the murder with blood on his shirt. And he comes crashing in the back door of their little house and he takes off that shirt and throws it on the floor and grabs a clean shirt and runs out the back door, and the sirens are coming and the police are on their way, and here this saved Christian brother, twin brother, looks identical twin, just looks just like him, realizes in a moment what has happened. Here comes the police. There's blood on his shirt. My brother's in trouble. He's done something horrible. He's running from them. If they catch him, they'll kill him. If they kill him, he'll go to hell. And so that Christian brother took off his shirt, laid it over on the bed, and picked up that bloody shirt, put it on, and met the police at the door. Now, this may just seem like a story to you, but you got to understand there has been a foundation laid of Bible preaching. What is sin? What did Jesus do? Why did they kill him? Why would they do that to him? Okay, he's paying for sins. Whose sins? And all of a sudden, all of that came into focus in my life. And that Christian brother sat there and wouldn't say a word, mute mouth, and let them take him and execute him for a crime he did not commit. He died for his brother. Boom. That's what Jesus did for me. Hey, I'm just talking about the best memory of my life. The best day of my life. My very best memory. And all this come together on one Sunday night. And I remember God's beginning to deal with me, and I'm beginning to understand that this thing that I'm feeling is from God, and these sins I've committed, something's got to be done about them. And if I don't do something about them, these sins are going to send me to a place called hell. And then there's Jesus, and he comes down, and he loves us. And he picked up my bloody shirt and put it on and died. Here was the pure Son of God, sinless, done no wrong, and yet he died for me. I'm just talking about a little five-year-old boy. I'm talking about we could go out to down to our primary church, and we could find a little five-year-old boy and bring him up, set him down. That's who I was. But aren't you glad that God's patient? Aren't you glad that God can speak to the heart of a child? And I'm talking about sitting in church, and it would come invitation time. And during the invitation, I'd feel this need to go forward. I knew that things weren't right. I knew that there was something I needed to do, and for several services, I just kind of fought against this need, but I felt that the Bible, I didn't know what it was called. The Bible calls it the drawing of the Father. And he was urging me. Here the Holy Spirit's convicting me of my need to be saved. The Father's urging me, drawing me to salvation. But folks, listen to me. The Holy Spirit will convict and the Father withdraw, but you have a free will. And you're the one that has to make that decision to go. And I do remember the day that I looked up in my daddy's face and grabbed a hold of his hand and said, "Dad, I need to be saved." Tears running down my face. "I need to be saved." And he took me down to the front and I knelt, and the preacher shared some verses with me, and I called out and asked Jesus to save me. Say, "Preacher, do you remember every detail of the day?" "No, but I remember the important stuffs." It's Memorial Day weekend. Do you have that best memory ever? I mean, can you look back from the day you were born and search out the timeline of your life? And can you narrow it down and find that's the day, that's the time? Well, I had a man come to the office one day, and we spent about an hour discussing this. He said, "I wanted to bring a question to you, not from our church, never been here, never attended our church." He said, "I keep being told by my Baptist friends that there must be a moment that you're born again." He said, "I think that I just kind of gradually grew into it." Is it possible just to gradually grow into salvation? And if you're going to ask me a Bible question, I'm going to give you a Bible answer. Jesus said to a religious man who'd been exposed to the teachings of the Bible, "Ye must be born again." If I was to ask you, "When were you born?" you wouldn't say, "Well, it started about May of 1961, and sometime in the process of between May and October, I was birthed over time." Now, the ladies are looking at me horrified. Some have suffered long days of labor, but no one's ever suffered that long. You look at me like I was crazy. No, when's your birthday? Come on, preacher. Where's your birth certificate? On there, I ought to have not only the day, it ought to have the time. The minute should be recorded. And so I shared that with him, and I said, "Listen to me, I think that over the process of time, we realize the things that will lead us to the point where we can be saved, but brother, ye must be born again." Okay? So can you look down the timeline of your life? Can you go back and say, "There's where I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and there's where I understood the gospel, and there's where it all came together, and there's where the Father was drawing me, and there's where I decided that I would receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's where I believed. There's where I called out. That's the moment I was saved. Now, I'm not asking you to remember the exact moment or even the specific date, because some of us, we didn't write those things down. But you can, in your memory, go back to that place, that point, that time. Do you have that best ever memory? Say, preacher, man, of all the memories, why is that the best ever memory? Well, let me tell you why. A whole series of things happened in that moment that makes that the best ever memory. Say, what happened? In that moment, you came forward and you called out and you were saying, what happened? My sins were forgiven. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, they shall be, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I love 1 John 2:12, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So right there at that altar, my sins were forgiven. Number two, my eternal destiny was changed. I mean, before then, once I realized what I needed to know to be saved, if I hadn't been saved, I'd have been going to hell, but all of a sudden now I'm going to heaven. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. How about John chapter 3, verse 14? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to hell. Now I'm on my way to heaven. How about this? Construction began on my mansion. Say, have you seen it yet? No. I don't even know pictures. I haven't even seen the blueprint yet, but I think it's going to be pretty amazing. Say, where do you get that? From the words of Jesus, red letter words in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, folks, I appreciate the house that the Lord's given us to live in. And listen, I'm not complaining. I think we're blessed beyond reason. But it's nothing compared to what I'm going to live in one of these days. How about that? I'm glad I believe in the King James Bible. I'm glad I believe it's the Word of God. Someone told me the NIV says that this verse has interpreted, in my Father's house are many rooms. Well, if you want to carry around an NIV, then I hope you get a room. Amen. But I got a King James Bible. I'm going to have a mansion. You go ahead and live in an apartment complex if you want to. I've done that for a while when I was in college. I don't want to ever want to. I mean, it's like living in a dorm. I don't think so. When that little five-year-old boy cried out to God and asked for salvation, what else happened? My decision touched off a celebration in heaven. Luke chapter 15, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth over more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And folks, listen, the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I mean, heaven breaks out into celebration. The biggest deal that happens in heaven is somebody getting saved. So here, I mean, the best memory ever. My sins are forgiven. My eternal destiny is changed. Construction begins on a mansion. I mean, heaven is celebrating. Little Jerry Ross got saved. Number five, my decision was the answer to someone's prayer in hell. Say, what? Not all of my relatives, not all of my ancestors were saved. In Luke chapter 16, we read about a man, he was a rich man. And by the way, he didn't go to hell because he was rich, and Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was a beggar, poor. If you go to heaven, you go there for one reason, because you've embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior. You go to hell, you go there for one reason, because you have failed to make that important decision while you could make it here on earth. And so this rich man is in hell, and we can read where he's conversing back and forth with Abraham. And one of the things he asks is this: I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, talking about Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Folks, I don't have anybody specifically in mind, but I know this. We talk about our heritage, folks. Listen to me. We all have a heritage. We can all go back to our lineage, our ancestry, and find people that without a doubt were saved. We can probably find people that almost without a doubt were lost. Now, I'm going to tell you the reality of it, and I'm going to say this for a very specific reason. I've watched people refuse to be saved because of somebody in their family that had died before them that also was not saved. I'm talking about hard things here, but I want you to give me a hearing. I had a man one time look at me and say, well, I'd be saved, but my wife passed away, and I know she wasn't saved, and I want to be with her. And I'd open to this portion of Scripture and say, she doesn't want you there. Well, I'd get saved, but I know my mom and dad weren't saved. And I can't imagine not being where my mom and dad. And I opened this portion of Scripture and read it and said, they don't want you there. You never know what the devil's told somebody, what mind trick he's played on somebody, what one excuse is standing between them and heaven. And so I'm addressing this. I know the Lord wanted me this morning. There may be one person, and that's the only thing that's between you and salvation this morning, is the devil's lie that somehow, well, you know, you hear the lost people said, I heard it this week. Somebody says, well, you know what? I'm not going to get saved. I'll just go down to heaven with all my friends, all my buddies, and we'll have a big party, and you better read Luke chapter 16. You know, it's a little hard to have a party when everybody is begging for one drop of water because they're in such torment. All they can think about is send someone with a drop of water on their finger to just touch my... There's no partying going on in hell. There's no celebration. If you see somebody in there in hell that you know, you're not going to be glad to see them. You're going to scream and weep because somebody you cared about was there also. So I just suspect that when that little five-year-old boy was getting saved, there may have been some of my ancestors. If they ever receive word of it, maybe they won't until the great white throne judgment. I think that there's anything they can grab a hold of is some of my family's not going to be there. So somebody's prayer was answered in hell. How about this? My name was recorded in the book of life. I'm talking about all this happened, folks. I didn't know all this was happening. You know, the great thing about salvation is you think it's great when you get saved. Then you spend your lifetime learning about what happened in that moment, and it gets bigger and bigger and greater, and the memory gets sweeter and sweeter. And heaven's celebrating, and I can see God the Father point over to whoever records the names in the book of life and says, write down Gerald Lee Ross in the Lamb's Book of Life. How about that? The Holy Spirit came inside of me. I didn't know this as a five-year-old boy. Sealed me to the day of redemption. I mean, from that day forward, I've never had to live a day without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. I'm not going to stand here and tell you I've always treated him right, or I've always treated that relationship as sacredly as I should have. But he's always been there. He seals me to the day of redemption. This is the best memory ever. I become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you know what? Whatever I was before, I wasn't a child of God. But now I'm a child of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God. And God set me on a course to fulfill the will of God. And you know, and I think to myself, where would we be, David? Where would we be? Mom and Dad hadn't gone to church. Where would we be? What kind of a situation would I find myself in life if I hadn't found Jesus? I'm so glad. I'm not talking about a memory, something that happened to me because I deserved it. I deserve hell. But the grace and mercy of God sought out the Ross family and found us that day. got us into a church, got us into the preaching and teaching of the Bible. And the Holy Spirit went to work on my mom and my dad and each of us children, and each in our time as the Lord dealt with us had that wonderful best memory day. We came forward and received Jesus forever as our Savior. And I want to end with this. Since that day, I've been able to live my life with the peace that comes with knowing that I'm ready for heaven. Philippians chapter 4 talks about peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so the Christian receives what the Bible says, a peace that passeth all understanding. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. It's not logical. A Christian can have this going wrong and that going wrong and facing this hard circumstance and maybe dealing with some frailty or physical ailment and all of these things that would cause someone who's not saved to be in bitterness of spirit and bitterness of heart. And yet with all of these things, there's the Christian with a smile on their face and peace in their heart, and it doesn't even make sense. And yet people who are not saved, they don't have this peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 59:8, the way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. All that happened, there it is. In an altar, all that happened right there. Best memory of my life. I want to encourage you over this Memorial Day weekend to remember the good things. Remember the good memories. If you're going to remember loved ones that have passed away, don't dwell on heartache and don't dwell on bitterness. Dwell on the good times. But I'm going to ask you all to do something else too. Go back and find that best ever moment and just praise God for it and thank God for it. Well, wait a minute, preacher. What if I go back to find that best ever moment and I traverse back and forth, up and down the timeline of my life, and it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. If that's where you're at today, let me tell you what I believe is probably happening in your heart. You're feeling a holy unrest. You're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You're feeling the drawing of the Father. Let me ask you, do you understand how much Jesus loved you? If you were the only sinner, the only person that was a sinner, I believe Jesus would have come down and died just for you. Can you lay your head on your pillow every night and have that peace that passeth all understanding? No matter what happens to me, I know I'm ready for eternity. Not because of the goodness in me, but because of the grace of Almighty God, because of the salvation He gave me. If you can't, then you can do what a little 5-year-old boy did 50 years ago at the Rock Run Baptist Church, north of Brazil, Indiana. You can respond to God's working in your life. You can step from your pew to the nearest aisle, come forward, just like I did, look at the preacher, and say, I need to be saved. I want to nail this thing down. I want this to be my best ever memory day. I want to get this thing done. And you can be born again today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around. Just for a moment, let me talk to you. We don't embarrass people here, but I sincerely believe in the power of prayer. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I would love to pray for you. Preacher, I'll be honest with you. If I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I fear what might happen. But I do know that God's working in my heart, and I do feel conviction, and I do feel the love and the drawing of the Father, and I do understand that Jesus died for my sins. And I'd like to be saved. I need to get that thing taken care of. I just need to get it done. With nobody looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd love to be able to pray for you. Preacher, I need to be saved today, huh? I do covet your prayers. I ask for you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up real quick? I need to ask you to pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved, and I'd like to be saved today. Is there anybody in the auditorium, anybody at all? Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd like to be saved. I want to talk to Christians for just a moment. Preacher, you helped me this morning. Because the honest truth is, I've been fighting a battle against negative memories. It torments me at times. It takes me to despair. Preacher, I'm going to start using my memory time differently. I needed to hear that. I need victory over some of these things that the devil just keeps bringing back and back and back. Preacher, just pray for me. I'm fighting a little bit of a battle here, and I just need prayer. Would you slip your hand up? Slip your all over the audit. Not an unusual thing. I got my hand up too. It's amazing what the devil will even do to a preacher's mind at times. Put your hands down. How many say, preacher, I'm going to commit to do this. Sometime over the course of this holiday weekend, I want to take a little private time and just me and God and the memory of my salvation and just kind of have a little celebration time, a rejoicing time, a praise time. Preacher, I'm going to make a commitment to do that. Would you raise your hand? I want to spend time remembering my best ever memory. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God. And I ask your blessings upon your people, dear Lord. I pray if there's one here without Jesus as their Savior, that they'd be saved. Lord, if the message was just to stir up by way of remembrance, dear God, the hearts of Christians, and help us to always stay focused on the goodness of God and his grace, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll take this message and use it, Lord, to full advantage in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.